It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. I grew up relatively poor, on the south side of Chicago and later on the south side of Milwaukee. My father worked in steel factories, U.S. Steel and Milwaukee Valve, and my mother sometimes had to get creative with dinner so we wouldn't go hungry. So whenever this reading comes around about the wealthy not getting into heaven, I hate to admit it, but I still get a little self-righteous about the poverty I grew up with, as if somehow I'm better than people who grew up lacking nothing. But for the record, I think the flip side of blaming the poor for their condition is demonizing the rich for their wealth. Both are obstacles to connection and relationship, hampering any opportunities for mutual collaboration for the betterment of all. Just look at our Congress for evidence of that. In any case, I used to be sanctimonious about my poverty. But damn it, now I'm rich too. We own a condo in downtown San Mateo. Both William and I make good money. We just bought two luxurious patio chairs that swivel and rock for $1,000. Didn't even bat an eye when we ordered them. I'm about to plop down $500 for a couple's cedar enzyme bath and massage at Osmosis Spa in Sonoma for our wedding anniversary. And you know, enzyme, massage, spa, Sonoma, those are rich people words. Now I'm speaking that language. Now I'm the camel. What are we going to do in hell together, those of you who are with me in this? Is that cedar enzyme bath just a precursor for what's to come in the afterlife, only hotter? Then who can be saved? I remember reading an article a few years ago, though I don't remember where, in which people were interviewed and asked point blank whether they were rich. Well, as you can imagine, most people didn't want to identify as such. They insisted they were middle class, or they countered with phrases like, I'm not rich, I'm comfortable. Like a sofa or a Barca lounger, I guess. Others said they were poor because they lived paycheck to paycheck. Never mind that they had a full-time job with a nearly six-digit salary. And FYI, according to the Census Bureau, the median household income in America in 2020 was $67,521. So if median means middle, then anything significantly above that amount might not count as middle class. Upper middle class, then, you might say, but never rich. And anyway, who can say where the cutoff point is, where rich begins? Since we live in the uber expensive Bay Area and Silicon Valley, or since some of us are house rich but cash poor. Well, at a certain point, I think the terms rich, middle class, and poor lose their meaning. Because what we're really talking about is a matter of perspective, isn't it? In terms of the entire world population, if you have a roof over your head and a toilet that flushes, you're in like the top 10% bracket of the world's economy. On the other hand, if all your friends are taking 3 to 4 vacations a year, and you can only afford 1 or 2, you might feel a bit cash-strapped. What we label ourselves in terms of income is also a matter of self-perception. When I was at a previous parish, we had members who owned properties or ran businesses and who pledged $1,200 a year, thinking that was a good amount. At the same time, there was a school teacher couple who pledged $9,000 a year, then gave more here and there. Now, I couldn't read their minds, but the sense I got was that the wealthier donors who gave less felt they were doing their part, while the less wealthy couple who gave more wished they could do more. Perspective and self-perception determine how we feel about our relative wealth more than the actual numbers do. Maybe people just don't know what an appropriate pledge is. I'm told that in the few years before I became your rector, the stewardship team tried to hand out a tithing chart so that members could see what it would be like to give 10% of their income, so they could see what percent they were actually giving. Apparently, this proved so unpopular with the parish that it had to be scrapped. I guess we kind of want to give what we want to give and not be questioned about it. So I didn't mean for this to be a stewardship sermon, believe it or not. But last week's was supposed to be my stewardship sermon, and it wasn't. So things are kind of evening out. And anyway, the rich young man in today's gospel reading wanders into our lectionary cycle every few years or so to remind us of a few uncomfortable truths. One, that we can do better. And two, that if we don't walk away from a stewardship season like he did from Jesus, shocked and grieving, maybe we haven't pledged enough. That was only kind of a joke, but you only kind of laughed, so I guess it's all right. Let me try to set a good example for you. Almost every year since I have been here, and it'll be 4 years next Sunday, I have increased my pledge by half a percentage point. I'm going to do it again this year, from $4,800 to $5,400. And now it's on the recording, so I can't back out. But that only takes me a little over halfway to tithing, to 10%. It'll be 5.2% of what you pay me here. And what you pay me here, by the way, I'm worth every penny. Can you increase your pledge? Or even better, though my treasurer might not think so, can you increase the amount instead that you give to other charitable organizations that help people in need? There are dozens locally who could really use your help. I guarantee that once you make such a donation, three things will happen. One, your heart will feel lighter. Two, there will be a spring in your step. And three, you will receive something in the mail from that same organization 3 days later asking you to give again. But I think that third outcome is worth it for the joy of the other two. Don't walk away grieving from opportunities to share your abundance like the rich young man did. Be joyful. What a blessing that you have it in your power to feed a hungry child you will never meet, to help pay the salary of people who advocate for migrants or others who can't fend for themselves. St. Luke's has always been a generous place. Every single time we have asked for donations for a cause, food insecure college students, a Habitat for Humanity build, our live streaming cameras, you have surpassed expectations of giving. This place makes it hard for smug people like me to say the rich don't care. You, in fact, encourage me to do better. For your generous hearts and for your loose wallets, I am most grateful. So, in case this story of the rich young man with many possessions still bums you out because you haven't sold everything you own and given the proceeds to the poor, let me remind you of one phrase in the reading. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus knew ahead of time that the guy wasn't going to be able to do what was asked, but he loved him anyway. And one of the reasons he loved him, I believe, was for his earnestness. We want what that man wants. An answer to the question, am I doing all right here? And Jesus' response to you is, I love you anyway. I leave you with a prayer written by Thomas Merton, brought to my attention by a friend and great writer, Debbie Thomas. Merton's prayer goes like this. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore will I trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Then who can be saved? For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. May we enjoy every cedar enzyme bath and massage, as much as we rejoice that we get to be the face of God's compassion to this world in need. Amen.